today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
So if your children are running the house, it means the house is being judged. If your children are running the nation, it means the nation is being judged. If a child like mine is running the church, it means the church is being judged. And one of the things children do is always spat with each other. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. No, you did it. You did it. And this is what we have in church. It means our church is foolish. So God wants us to rise up out of foolishness into wisdom.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Demonic Network of Unforgiveness. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Proverbs chapter 19, verses 10 through 13.
Proverbs chapter 19, verses 10 through 13. Are you all ready for the word?
Yes.
Well, tell me you're ready for it.
Yes.
Can we give God a hand clap of praise before I teach? A hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19, verses 10 through 13. The word of the Lord reads like this. It is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury. How much worse for a slave to rule over princes. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. A king's rage is like the roar of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is his father's ruin, and a quarrelsome wife is like a constant drip, 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 dripping, 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 dripping. If you say amen, I'll move on. I know y'all can't stand what the Bible says, right? So you gotta balance it out. That's what feminism is. It ain't all about that. Y'all want to change the scripture. I go to a scripture and talk of what men do. Right. Y'all can't handle truth, right? You can't handle truth. But I'm gonna balance it out for you. Make it relevant. The series is called Exposing the Spirit of Fraud or Deception. We're focusing, as we conclude this, on this spirit of unforgiveness that seems to have gridlock in our hearts and in our families and in our communities, in our church, even the congregation and the committed groups of the church. And I'm believing God to uproot it. I don't think we can vanquish it because all of us have to deal with it. It's a heart matter. But I do believe God can help us to control it and to work with it and release grace so we can move out of the dungeons of unforgiveness to the highest peaks of possibilities. Father, I give you praise and I thank you for my minstrel. Thank you for her anointing and for her ability to flow with a leader. And I thank you for all of the minstrels here today and the singers. Thank you for their commitment to you. I feel more encouraged. There is no hijack of our worship, but it is free. Freeborn, and there's a free flow, and I thank you for that. As I teach, I pray that you would use the notes of the keys and also my voice and my vocal cords to fine-tune your people. Thank you for the divine alignment. Go before the word and prepare us with ears to hear it. Give us a heart to receive it and a spirit to contain it, and we will give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our confession of faith in a moment here. Our confession of faith. You should have it by memory or know it by memory soon. For this is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. And ready to receive. I can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. It is the glory of kings, or the glory of God, to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to search it out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. It is the glory of God to conceal it, but it is the glory of kings to search it out. And if there is a kingly anointing in our house, which I believe the scepter of the king is here, then there should be a searching out of the fine things in life. Why are things the way they are? And what can we do to free it? What can we do to be delivered from it? What can we do to maximize our potential? What can we do to grow, to expand, to be the better? As we come to the climax of this year, I don't want to enter into the year and enter into it without a run or without a gape. I don't want to crawl into the new year. I want to run into it. And I believe God wants us to finish this one, since it's a calendar, a chronos type moment. He wants us to finish this race strong. And one of the weights that he tells us to cast off in Hebrews chapter 12 is the weight of unforgiveness. Wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run the race with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I know we don't see weight as a blindfold, but the scripture is implying that a weight on your feet or on your heart can obscure the way you see Jesus. So as we lay aside weight and sin that easily besets us, we must then run the race, pick up the volume, pick up the velocity, to run the race with patience that does so easily beset us. Let us run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter, or the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured some things. Can I get an amen? Glory to God. I got the amen on the inside this morning. I want to visit Proverbs chapter 19. Tomorrow will be the first and the last of 12. I would encourage you to read Proverbs 1 tomorrow. Tonight, you need to read Proverbs 30 and 31. Because 30 has September. 30 days have September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except February that has 28. And so we need to make sure that you double up tonight and read 30 and 31 so you can be on the kairos of God. I'm sorry. Yeah, the kairos, the chronos of God. Kairos, chronos. Chronos is chronological time, right? You want the chronos, you want to be in sync with what God is saying. And that is, you want to make sure that the first of the month, you're reading the first proverb, and the last day, if there's 31, you actually read the 31st proverb. So what I'm trying to do is get our church in sync to flow with me. Because a proverb a day will help you to keep the devil away. In the 19th chapter, we see it is not fitting for anyone foolish to live in luxury. Now, we got a lot of people want to look luxurious. They want to enter into the penthouse. But it is not logical, God says, for anyone that's foolish to live in luxury. I'm saying the people who are stumbling every week, that's foolish. If you learn how to walk, why are you stumbling over your strings? If you learn how to tie your shoes, why are you stumbling over strings? We learn that when we're kids, right? So why are you stumbling in your steps? That's foolish to be 25, 30, 40, 70, and still stumbling. So what we want to do now is make sure we tie the shoe up so we don't have to stumble over them anymore. The scripture is very clear in chapter 19 and verse 10. It is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury, to want a mansion, to ride in a nice Benz, to have all finances paid. Fools, it's not fitting for them to do that. The wise should live in luxury. The ones that are smart should live in luxury. The ones that are applying knowledge should live in luxury. Had nothing to do with color. Had nothing to do with ethnicity. But the wise should live in luxury, not the foolish. We're now promoting anybody that can say whatever they want to say. It has no bearing. As long as they make us laugh. As long as they entertain us, we let them live in luxury. And if you read Isaiah chapter 5, anytime someone foolish or young or someone as a child is in a position of authority, it means God is judging the organization. So if your children are running the house, it means the house is being judged. If your children are running the nation, it means the nation is being judged. If a child like mine is running the church, it means the church is being judged. And one of the things children do is always spat with each other. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. No, you did it. You did it. And this is what we have in church. It means our church is foolish. So God wants us to rise up out of foolishness into wisdom. So if it's not fitting for a fool to live in luxury, how much worse for a slave to rule over princes? Anybody operating unforgiveness, because unforgiveness is brutal, it will not allow you to come out of the shackles. And we become comfortable with the shackles of unforgiveness and feel like it gives us a badge of honor. But no, you become a slave when you're unforgiving and you're dragging a chain. And that person should not rule over princes or lead ministry opportunities, even pastors that are resentful, leaders that can't forgive, leaders that can't say I'm sorry, are disqualified from leading God's people. I'll preach over here. So I'm throwing myself in there. One of the things I have to practice is giving people another chance. I have to do that. I have to overlook needs. Now, you want the mic? Take it. But you got to forgive them. And they're going to hurt you to your soul. But you got to forgive them. You got to keep moving that way. You want the mic? You want to say, oh, man, I got all of these people coming. The money is coming in. But one of the reasons why God gives you the mic is because you have to demonstrate a type of character of Christ. I can't be Christ. He is the Lord of all. But I follow him. And there's a price to follow him. And one of them is you got to live the life of forgiveness. Well, Jesus, how many times should we forgive? 70 times. Sit down, be quiet. You can't forgive once. I'm just telling you, if you're going to pick up the cross and follow him, it's difficult sometimes. But we got to reach for the stars. Can the church say amen? I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. That's why I don't preach my experience. I preach the word. And he told me to preach this. Look at verse 11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. A lot of people like to criticize wisdom because they don't understand the tail's end of wisdom. So if wisdom was a coin, you would see on the front end the face of a woman that nobody likes. She's unattractive. And the back end of it, you would see patience. That's what a coin of wisdom looks like. A woman that's unattractive, wearing a black gown, and she's crying because nobody wants her. We want all of the fine ones. We don't like the coin of wisdom. She's got all of the knowledge, all of the experience. She knows about law. She knows about precedent. She has good judgment. She knows how to raise a family. She knows wealth and finance. She's got all of that, knows a lot about health and wellness and mental health as well. She knows about community. She knows how to worship. She knows all about the things that please God because she's peeking over his shoulder when he creates the worlds. So our education doesn't make us closer to God. Wisdom does. You can get knowledge by going to school, but wisdom comes from God. Yet it's unattractive to most. It's not going to always pat us on the back. It's not going to reward us when we do right all of the time. Sometimes the one doing right is unnoticed. But we do what we need to do, and what comes with the face of this unattractive woman on the tail's end is patience. And so the woman's wisdom gives him patience. The man's wisdom gives him patience, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Wisdom people are wise and patient, and they attempt to overlook infractions. When there's an issue, they try to overlook the infraction so we can move forward. Okay, you're on a football field. You're on the 30-yard line. We got to get to the end zone. We only got 3 minutes on the clock, and I threw the ball to you, and you dropped it. I threw the ball to you. We ran this route in practice for 5 months. And you're going to look the other way. You know I'm coming to you. We made sure we did it in the huddle and you dropped the ball. But the quarterback can't stay there forever. The clock is running down. We still got time on the clock. We got to get back to down set. I got to get you right because we got to get to the finish line. Down, set, and you still talking about what we dropped last week? We've got to get to the end zone. Your mind is somewhere in the stands, but we're trying to advance the ball. And when you start thinking like that, man, and see the team effort, we'll start getting the ball down the field because everybody on the team has to run their route. I'm not mad, y'all. I'm just gone. My God. I'm trying to get this ball down the field, man. Where you at? Why are you late for practice? You were upset with me? Get yourself together. Look at verse 12. A king's rage is like the roar of a lion, but his favor is like dew. And people who offend it always roar. I'm tired. We can't praise either. But favor is like dew, resting freshly upon the heart. I like last verse. The foolish son is his father's ruin. So remember now, we started with verse 10. It is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury. So why are you sitting up in AC and you foolish? What's up with you? And then a foolish son is his father's ruin. But it says a nagging wife. There's a consistent dripping. So let me help you. Wife here can also be tied to the church because we are the bride. So we're going to free the ladies today. We're not preaching at you that you're dripping. I'm talking about the church is dripping. Because when you got offense, you don't worship. All you do is complain. You don't even come to God saying the ones you healed has come to worship you. We say, look at them, God. Strike them down. I can't stand them. And it's the bride that's doing that. The wife of God. Constantly dripping with offense. And he can't be intimate. He cannot be intimate when there's a consistent dripping.
Oh my God.
He can't marry us. He can't come down to us. He can't love us like he wants to in demonstration. You know why? Because it changes the atmosphere. And there is no intimacy when there's nagging. You never do anything right. You never do anything right. I'm offended. I'm offended. God says, man, when are we going to get the atmosphere clean? Well, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. So we're not talking about women and home. We're talking about church nagging. Church folk. Can't even worship. Don't want to come into the worship because heart ain't right. And I want to rebuke all of you that come to church late. You're supposed to be in worship. Well, that's right. Say ouch. What you coming late? It's 11 o'clock. Some of us been here from 5, 6, 7. I came a little late today at 8 o'clock. I got a situation at home. One of the wife's friends is suffering from something right now and may have to go to the hospital. I'm the last one to leave here and the first one here a lot. You wouldn't know that, especially on Wednesday nights. But that's what I do. I'm not complaining about it. But some days I'm going to flip it. In other words, we'll do worship at the end. I'm going to start teaching at 11. I'm going to see who's coming in here late. I'm trying to move a ball down the field. How you going to be late for the game? If your spiritual growth and development means something to you, you'll get yourself right. Now, if I was giving $100 bills or $1,000, everybody would be here. Let me tell y'all something, man. The federal government gave millions of dollars to states, and the states brought it to county. We won a $1.8 million grant to help people with their rent. Where they at? The ones we helped. Did they come back to worship? No, because you can pay bills all day. It don't lead toward intimacy with God. So I already know what happens. People changed, lied on the program just to get the money. Wouldn't go to work, come in for me to pay their bills, and then go on cruises. This is what we saw, the kind of mindset people got. So you want to talk about prejudice? I'm telling you, we did it. I know what I'm talking about. How are you on a cruise and you ask me to pay your rent? Explain it to me. Who told you that's right? Actually, dignity requires for us to go to work to pay our bills, because something happens when you go to work and you don't get money easily. Character is built. Why would I pay for you to have fun? I got to be in the grind and make sure that I put things in its proper place before I can go. Because if I came to you for money, you'll say, he must be messing it up. But you come to me with no discretion at all. Messing yours up. So I'm telling you what I know. So you can give out money all day. It doesn't lead toward a better community. Yet God tells us to do it. It looks like somebody want to give some more money to our church to help people with their stuff. I'm judging it to see if it's the right thing or not. Because everybody and their mama say they got a need. But when you get your money, do you sow? You say, I'm going to break $1,000 off to God. They bless me. Oh, I'm preaching next year. Income tax. 9,000.
Young mothers, 9,000, and a month later don't have no money. BBLs and all this other stuff, man. And listen to me, you better get your mind right.
But I'll preach to myself. So the church complains, and when you complain with unforgiveness, you can't worship. Dripping, drip, 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 drip. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, I won't go into it, but it says when we fail to forgive, from verse 31 to verse 35, when we fail to forgive, the Lord of the wicked servant, who was forgiven for over 370 tons, there's 2,000 pounds to one ton. He was forgiven of a debt, 370 tons, 340 tons, whatever it was. But when his fellow comrade owed him just a little bit, he grabs him by the throat. Like many of us, man, if God will pull back the scroll and let the world see what you did, who can stand in his presence? Same people want to choke everybody out. God forgave us of a lot of stuff. Let me say it this way. God forgave us of a lot of stuff. I call it the privilege of privacy. That means nobody saw you tipping. Nobody saw you. Nobody saw you. And how in the world are you going to choke somebody? This is how we operate, right? People done robbed, stole, did everything, and somebody take bubblegum from you and you act like you can't handle it.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Demonic Network of Unforgiveness, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
High school seniors, don't miss your chance to apply for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship. This program supports future leaders through STEM and STEAM education. Applications are available at the Communication and Promotion Counter and are due Monday, January 26th. For details, email elders@truthrevealed.org. Registration is open for Six-Man, the 2026 Men's Advance Reloaded, scheduled for Friday and Saturday, January 9th and 10th. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app, website, or scan the QR code to register for this action-packed event, which promises to be an unforgettable experience. Take advantage of the combo package, and remember to order your conference t-shirt, polo, and jersey.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
The WWBC 1510 AM radio, the Christian voice of Brevard, has an official Facebook page. Check it out, like our posts, and leave a comment and follow us as well on WWBC 1510 AM radio.
But never to worry, he got the victory. He